What does it mean to be called by God? Who is called? Why does it matter? And what do we know about the landscape of encounter with God? Let's start with something very basic, to many of you. But still, some do not know this or have not yet embraced it truly. And that is that discernment, vocation, call were words that one time were used within the church almost exclusively for those called to be clergy. But for a long time now, thankfully, we've known that call is something that everyone experiences. For Christians, for Episcopalians, our 1979 prayer book, the one we use today, the one until very recently was still called the New Prayer Book. Well, our new prayer book moved us along back in 1979, with baptism taking its rightful position as the rite that brings us into full communion, into covenant with God through Christ, and makes us ministers, all of us, ministers of, in the church, of the church, of the gospel. One does not need to be ordained to serve, and even if you're headed for that, in that direction, God won't wait for that day to call you to ministry. In the Episcopal Church, we say, praying shapes believing. If you want to know what Episcopalians believe, a good place is to start with the prayer book. And for those who are looking for a church, I say, come and pray with us. See if God is calling you here. When we consider call from our faith perspective, we wonder, right? We wonder and we open ourselves to the ways God calls us to be Christ for each other, the way God calls us to be ministers of God's love in the world, the ways that God calls us to be about God's justice and peace. Sometimes a call from God can seem quite unexpected. The boy, Samuel, was surprised by the voice of God calling his name. In fact, didn't understand it. After all, those were the days when the word of the Lord was rare. Visions were not widespread, we're told. Sounds a lot like our days. Though, if you start thinking about it and start talking with people, it is amazing how many people have had visions. How many people have had a sense of the divine that is beyond rational explanation? Samuel hears his name being called, Samuel, Samuel, and assumes it is Eli and goes to him. After a couple of times of this, it's kind of comical, right? It takes a while. Eli realizes it is the Lord. The older Eli helps the boy to know it is a call from God. And this points to discernment happening in community. Samuel needed Eli. We need each other to discern what is a call from God and what is not, and what a call like that might mean for us. And then there's the response of faith. Speak, for your servant is listening. God calls and we respond by being attentive and continuing to listen. Discernment does not end. It never ends. It's always ongoing. We're not done when we get just the right job or establish a great church program. We continue to listen. God is always revealing God's self and God's plan, in a sense, to us. One such experience I've had of this that was quite powerful was during the story time service, the last few times we've had it. The story time service is offered once a month on the second Sunday, and so that's tonight. And we say it's for children, their families, and friends of all ages. We've been doing the service for 2 years, and then something new developed that I had not been expecting. And to give a little background on what this is, there's an organization many of you have probably heard of called LARSH. It's an international federation that describes itself as being dedicated to the creation and growth of homes, programs, and networks, support networks, with people who have intellectual disabilities. Some of you will be familiar with Henry Nouwen, with this organization through him. He wrote about it, how his experience of living and working with members of a large home, a community, a group, was transformative for him. We are quite blessed that there is a large organization in Metro Richmond, because there aren't tons of them everywhere. And they have a project, the Golden Chicken Players, which is a musical show they produce each year. And our own Ellen Hall has been directing the group and has been having the rehearsals here, often on the second Sunday of the month, right before the Storytime service. And many of the group began to attend the service because the rehearsals were here and they heard about it. So these adults with special gifts started attending, and it was so enriching for everyone. And then after the rehearsals ended, a few of them were able to keep coming back. We might see them tonight. And during one of those services, where there were just a couple of our visitors, I felt God saying, "Do you hear it? Do you hear me calling your name, Holy Comforter, to do something new, to be about something you had not expected?" Because this grace surprised me so much. I thought we were kind of done, you know? We had it set up, we knew what we were doing. But more than I could have imagined, it becomes more and more beautiful beyond the vision I had. Jesus says to Nathanael, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." Philip's invitation to Nathanael, which led him to Jesus, was, "Come and see. Come and see." Discernment of call does not happen in the abstract. We're currently, as you've noticed, in the physical world. Sometimes we like to forget that and just be all in our heads. But we're in the physical world, and so we need situations. We need to experience situations to discern what we're being called to do. This is why I always advise people, go on the interview, even if you're not sure about it. Even if that might not be the position, through that process, you will know more than you do right now. For in the experience, whatever experience, we can listen, we can see how we feel, we can see if there's energy or not. The same can be said for any decision we are making. We need to try it out to the greatest extent possible for solid discernment to occur. So we talk with our friends as well. We talk with our family, with our church community, because again, discernment in community is true discernment. It's the best discernment. And the same is true for us as a church. We can try new things. We can talk together. We can listen for God and see what God may be calling us to do. And trying something that doesn't work is better than trying nothing at all. Right? It's okay. Amen. Yeah, just preach it out there. All right. It's okay. It's the holy risk, right? The holy risk taking that is beautiful. It doesn't matter if it's successful by the world's standards. Just trying it, it's very faithful thing to do. One great tool for discernment of call is the well-known statement from Frederick Buechner. "Your vocation in life is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need." Your vocation in life is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need. You may be discerning your life's vocation, or be about to, or you may be discerning what you're called to do now that you're retired, or we may be called to discern right now what the church is about, or what you're going to do in the church this year, for the church, for others, through the church. The techniques for discernment are the same. What gives you joy and energy? What causes you to imagine something that's new and different, amazing even? What gives you energy when you think about it? And what needs in the world or the church call out to you? So we pray about that. We talk with people. Look at your life. Does it make sense? To return to one of my initial questions today, what do we know about the landscape of encounter with God? In her book, Walking the Llano, A Texas Memoir of Place, Shelley Armitage quotes Leslie Silko, saying, "The term landscape, as it has entered the English language, is misleading. Often we hear it's a portion of territory the eye can comprehend in a single view. This does not correctly describe the relationship," she goes on to say, "between the human being and his or her surroundings. This assumes the viewer is somehow outside or separate from the territory he or she surveys. Viewers are as much a part of the landscape as the boulder they stand on." Armitage has this quotation at the start of her book, setting the context and giving us an idea of where she's going. If we have this context, this view of our relationship with God at the start of discernment, at the start of our listening and looking, we may know where we are going a bit better, or maybe where we already are. Do we assume that we are outside or separate from God's call to us? Or do we see that we are already part of that landscape? God's call to us is less something to be achieved or possessed, and more something to see that it is already there, in who we are, in who we are becoming, in this landscape of grace and love. What do you hear? What do you see? You will see greater things than these. Amen.